It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Jason Wilde and Brian Bulaga, not necessarily in that order. And I get to listen after I do inform everybody that teams that are 22-1 like the Green Bay Packers do not win the Super Bowl very often. There are exceptions. The New York Giants, sorry, Brian, 2011 won, and they were 22-1. Green Bay was 6.5-1 into the season. And when Green Bay, understandably, to some degree, surprised the world in winning 2010, they were 11-1. Twice the odds of the Green Bay Packers. Believe if you wish, you, what was it yesterday? 30% Pebble, something like that?
30%, yep.
But understand the degree of surprise that it is. Brian Bulaga, who's so nice, he gets to introduce Jason Wilde because he always asks how he's doing. Doc?
Jason, good evening. How are you?
I'm great. Sydney won her last three tennis matches of the day. So she was like a young Steve True out there who's impressive. So I'm in a
excellent.
Great mood.
Good.
Even though an old Steve True calls Packers fans idiots for thinking they could win the Super Bowl.
Yes, 30%. 30% as a group, they're idiots. It should be about, again, understand. Now, I think with more information, and that's why you exist, Jason, and the doctor exists, with more information, understanding the truth, they can still be as positive as fans, but a little more realistic. That's my hope. But take it away. Yeah. Back to you, Doc.
Just to be clear, was the poll question that they will win the Super Bowl, right? That's what it was?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So had it been higher, then I would have been concerned. If like 80% were like, oh, yeah, I'm going to win
right.
the Super Bowl.
Okay.
But 30%, those are just some optimistic folks.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with being optimistic.
There's
yeah,
nothing.
Come on, man.
Nope. So, Jason, right. what? I mean, the KBN guys were hot on it. Did I miss something with Jair today? Like, was there a report? Did I miss something? Like, I guess I'm not on my phone a lot. So, what's going on?
Yeah, I'll be honest. Neither am I, and maybe we're bad at our job. I don't think so, but maybe because. And look, I am always, I think you guys know this about me, extremely respectful of other people's work because I wouldn't want some jackwagon undercutting my work. Like people were trying to do with the Elgton Jenkins conversation, which again, that is not me being stupid. There's something to that. Now, the report from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN was, that they are working toward an agreement on an adjusted contract. And the only things that could prevent that would be a breakdown in negotiations or a unique trade offer, which I guess to me means those were the three options before, either a reworked contract to stay, a trade offer that they liked enough to trade him, or not being able to reach an agreement on an adjusted contract, and they cut him. So, you know, I think what Jeremy, and I don't want to speak for him, I don't know who his source is, but whether that conversation was with John Thornton, Jair's agent, or someone else, I'm guessing that there has been movement by both sides toward the type of contract that would make it palatable to Jair to stay and to the Packers to be protected if he has another injury plagued year. So I would think, and you were on the team in 2012 when Mason had that very difficult season. Now that was performance, that wasn't availability, but if you remember what they did, he accepted a pay cut and they built in all these incentives that allowed him to earn back every penny that he was giving up. And what did Mason go out and do? He had the best season of his career to that point, earned back every penny, and he made exactly what he would have made had they never done the pay cut in the first place. And he played great.
Yep.
So if Jair can do that, now I would assume that this would be incentives that would, and you know this, and this is another one of my pet peeves, because it incentivizes guys potentially playing when they shouldn't. Now, it also incentivizes guys for not being soft with injuries that they should play through and choose not to. But I would think that they would cut his salary. It's supposed to be $16.1 million, so maybe to $8.05 million, and then have the other $8 million be put in the form of game-to-game roster bonuses that he makes, you know, whatever that would be.
It's a lot.
If it's 500, it would be a little under 500,000 a game that he would earn back every time he's active. So if they end up agreeing on that structure, great, right? And then, you know, my issue with this, all this stuff is, has Goody, has LaFleur on the Packers side, and has Jair on Jair's side been able to look at it and say, you know what, we were off to such a good start last year. You know, he legitimately injured his knee. We obviously debated whether or not he could have played through it. We were all pissed about that Chicago game, but we all agree now. I'm being Goody here. Me as Goody, Matt and Jair, that, hey, that was, you know, bygones are bygones. I'll say this, they all still agree on one thing. That Jair, when healthy, is a damn good football player. I know Matt LaFleur feels that way. I'm sure Goody feels that way too. So maybe they can reach that agreement that allows everyone to win and him to stay. But again, I'm not gonna count that chicken until it's hatched.
Do you see any legs with this Dobbs to with the Steelers interested in him? Do you see any legs in that, or see any legs in it? Because now we'd be right back in the same boat that we were talking about before the draft. And that's getting rid of receivers, not having any wideouts.
Right. Right. Now here's what I would say. I would say that if they feel – because they added two guys, they're both going to make the team, right? A first and a third round pick. That's not the same as being a seventh rounder. So that – they had their six were Watson, Dobbs, Reed, Wicks, Melton, and Heath. So you've already eliminated Watson because he's going to be out for the first half of the season. Now, do you want to eliminate another guy and then you feel good? Hey, they do. I know they like Bo for what he brings and the locker room guy and special teams guy he is. And I know they like Heath from a blocking perspective. You know, I don't think he left the best impression heading into the offseason since he ran his route on the one interception completely wrong. And Matt LaFleur did something he rarely does and said so publicly that he ran the route incorrectly. So are you really going to then part with a guy that has some proven success in this league? I wouldn't do it if it wasn't a draft pick that I thought was worthwhile and one that could increase in value with conditions. Now, the problem here, as we all agree, is after how things played out last season with Romeo Dobbs, is it possible that within the building, and something they would never say publicly, that between his no-show before the Rams game and the two concussions late in the year, that they have reservations about him, that they're thinking, hey, we can get something for him. If he plays well for Pittsburgh with Aaron Rodgers, who apparently barely talked to him, then we'll set 1,000 yards.
Uh-oh, we're losing Jason a little bit, or is it just me?
I think we lost him.
That can't be. Then I got to talk.
I think we lost him.
I was officially doing a great job listening. I didn't interrupt at all, did I?
No.
And until we get Jason back, I guess I always look and we'll just see what they do, right? I mean, That's where the discussion to me about the players that they took in the draft. I mean, it's possible that they were just too good to pass up, but I think it also speaks of what you want to get better.
To me, it's if you move on from Dobbs, right, and you do trade him, we're kind of back in this predicament that we had talked about the wide receiver room
being
now, right?
So
now,
young.
Yes. Yeah. We're right back into it now, right? And we don't have Watson until probably the very back end of this season. And we don't know how fast the rookies are going to be up to speed, right? They'll eventually catch up to speed eventually, but how long is that going to take? And that's my only concern.
A great question for Jason Wilde, who's back.
God, I was talking the entire time until Chris called back. That's embarrassing. So I think the last thing I said was I don't believe that Aaron Rodgers actually likes Romeo Doubs, which has been reported. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe they've been working out together in California, and they've developed a connection they didn't have in 2022. But to your question, you know, I think the expectation would be that Matthew Golden can come in and play right away. Now, Tausch hates it. Well, actually, he loves it because then if I'm wrong, he can criticize it. But Tausch always enjoys my comparing players to previous players. And the comp that I made, now this is, I have no actual football playing evidence of this comp. Remember, because the mini camp was basically just individual drills.
Yep.
But the guy that Golden looks like in terms of his stature, kind of his smooth athleticism, is Greg Jennings.
Okay.
Because he's not big. He's not, you know, he's not DK Metcalf, like totally ripped. He's a smooth 5'11"-ish guy. And you know how good Greg was during your rookie year. And the year after that. So if he were to be that good, that'd be great. But, you know, he has not even caught a football from a quarterback employed by the Packers in a practice setting. He may have done it in a walkthrough, but during that rookie camp, he didn't even have a ball thrown to him by Taylor Elgersma, not a single pass. So I'm not going to anoint him anything yet, but I think their hope and the reason why he's a first round pick is because you feel like he can play plug and play to some degree. Now, what Savion Williams looks like, I don't know about you, Brian, but my anticipation is that they put together some sort of a package that makes sense for him. And he's got this group of plays where he runs end arounds and jet sweeps and lines up in the backfield and all those kinds of things.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to see how he is, right? Like, I think they're going to see how he is in training camp, how he adjusts. And I think he's going to be one that earns his time, right? Like, and I think you look at in past history of Green Bay drafting guys in the second and third round, how those guys have earned their time, right? Like, and that's how it's gone. Then you look at the Jordys and the Greg Jennings and the Devontaes and the Cobbies. They all slowly earned their time, right? And it started as they were rookies, and they just got better and better and better, and they made plays, and they continued to make plays. And that'll be the same way for this kid. He'll have to go out there when he gets his opportunity, catch every ball that's thrown at you, make plays, you know, get explosive gains when you can, and just make a name for yourself. And that's when you continue to get more and more opportunities. So there'll be packages that he will have built in. And, you know, shoelaces get untied all the time throughout the year. You know what I mean, Jason? Shoelaces get untied, and especially at the wide
break.
Yep, especially at the wide receiver position, right? A lot of shoelaces get untied. So he's going to have an opportunity to go out there and show what he's about. So it's just a matter of, is he going to be ready to go when it's his opportunity? And that's up for, you know, that's for him and the coaching staff to get him ready to go.
All right. I have one question, and I've saved it because, Jason, I know you find it hard to believe, but we're late. I want to know from Jason or even Brian, anybody, how happy is LaFleur with these two wide receivers? I mean, is he really happy? Is he? I'm above everything else curious as to his mood privately, because they're not going to say much publicly, because then that means you're ripping the ones that are there. But won't you be able to see how excited he might be or could be about the weapons he's been given? Or maybe it's the confidence he has in players there being so much better. How happy is he?
I don't want to speak for him. I would say I know he was concerned, though, about not having Watson as part of their group. Like, I think he believes that Wicks and Reed can bounce back from not being what they were hoping last season. I don't know where he's at with Dobbs. I stand by my statement that there's, you know, we forgive you, but we're not going to forget this kind of a vibe about him. Maybe I'm wrong. But look, when he talked to Tausch and me at the Thunder Trio before the draft on Thursday night, he was acting as if he knew that there was a good chance they were going to take a receiver. And he had told me that McMillan was definitely going to be gone. So I wonder if he, you know, was really thinking that it was going to be Golden. And then we all know that in the third round, they had no intention of picking Savion Williams. They considered him at the second round pick when they took Anthony Belton, the offensive tackle out of North Carolina State. And then when Williams was still there in the third round, 30-some picks later, they were like, we got to take him. We have a second-round grade on him. And so that, I think, is what made LaFleur really happy. Because now, and I'll quickly just add this, one of the things LaFleur talked about during the offseason was that he thought Jaden Reed's lack of productivity in the second half of the year was because they got him beat up too much. And I remember a distinct play at Lambeau where he's, it's like the short red zone, and he goes on an end around and just gets murdered. And he went out of his way to say, we have to take those hits off of him. And now he's got a guy that can take those hits off of him.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Oh, I love to listen. The fourth quarter with the Doc, Brian Bulaga, the Doctor of Football, next.